In your Bibles tonight, please, to the book of Romans. Thank you for the good singing. Yeah, the book of Romans, chapter number 8. We started off, what is God like? I tried to share with you on the first night that there are things that the Bible says about God that are terrible. It's terrible in holiness. The Bible tells us in the book of Job, with God is terrible majesty. The book of Joel tells us the day of the Lord is terrible. And that leading us to understanding that God is holy and He's to be feared and to be reverenced. Last night we shared with you five places in the Scripture where the question is asked, who is a God like unto thee? And we dealt with who is a God like unto thee there in Exodus, in holiness. Then in Psalms, who is a God like unto thee in righteousness? And we finished up there in Micah chapter 7, who is a God like unto thee in mercy? And we're wanting to understand what God is like. I'm convinced we're living in a day of church-going folks that don't have any idea what God is like. And I've tried to use the illustration so often. Folks treat the house of God, the Word of God, the day of God, according to the dictates of their own pleasure and convenience. And sort of like maybe the senior citizen greeter at the Walmart. They have it down in our area. And you come in the door and they smile and they're real pleasant. They're real glad that you came in. And then you never see them again till you go back. And that's the attitude or the relationship some people seem to have with God. When they want something, when they need something, they're glad He's real tender-hearted and amiable and friendly. But they don't have anything to do with Him till they need something else. And that's just not the God of the Bible. He's a God to be reverenced. He's a God to be obeyed. He's a God to be loved. And as we sang, adored. And so we're thankful. We dealt last night with the Son of God. He's the Son of God. God the Father is God in heaven. God the Son is God on the earth. And tonight we want to deal with the Holy Spirit, who is God in our hearts. Let's read in the book of Romans, chapter 8. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. And you follow along, please. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And look over at verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. And verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, for He searcheth the hearts. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. 19 times in this chapter we found reference to the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless us, that we might be sensitive and mindful to the greatness of the Spirit of God tonight. Please forgive our sin. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We last night used the passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 13. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We understand, we believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He's the Son of the living God. Well, who do men say that the Holy Spirit is? And there's much confusion today. And we have the faith healers and then people that have nothing to say about the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned last night in our efforts theologically to explain the Trinity, God the Father is the first person of the Trinity. God the Son is the second person of the Trinity. And God the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And that's a good way of explaining it. The downside to that is a lot of folks give the Holy Spirit a third place position in their worship. And that's not to be. He's not the third one of the Godhead to show up. It's not like God came and then Christ came and then the Holy Spirit came last. They are all three God. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. The Holy Ghost is God in the Spirit. He is the Spirit, first of all, of the Holy Trinity. He is the Spirit of the Father. We read last night in the Gospel of John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we read in the Gospel of John chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will send you another comforter. And you read in John chapter 14, verse 15. Let's turn there, please. We'll turn to a lot of Scripture tonight. And I hope you will follow along in the Scriptures. Let me tell you something about not following along in the Scriptures. It makes the preaching longer. Well, it does. If you don't pay attention, if you don't follow along, if you don't join in and get involved with it, then you wonder if the guy's ever going to shut up. And if we can see that we're getting through, it's very, very helpful. So go along with the Scriptures, all right? If you love me, keep my commandments. So there's evidence. There's assurance and evidence, all right? You say, well, I'm not sure I'm saved. Well, do you obey God? Has God given you a comforter? If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Verse 16, I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit is the Creator God in the heart of the believer forever, dwelling in our hearts forever. You wonder now, what does this word abide mean? It is the same word translated dwelleth there in verse 17. He is Jehovah God, the Creator, sovereign, holy, majestic, great God of all creation, God of heaven and earth, living in our hearts. Be all right if you say amen right there. Amen. But that's the truth, folks. This is the Holy Ghost of God. And I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit. I have an affliction. Some of you have seen me over the week. You know you got more than one affliction. But I have this problem of starting on time. I'm a freak about it. And I tell our church, South Center Baptist Church in Arlington, so many times when I get there of a Sunday morning, I don't want to sing. I don't want to take... Do any other pastors ever have that, preachers have that problem? I don't want to sing. I don't want to take an offering. I don't want to do any of the regular Baptist things. I want you folks to come in and sit down and be quiet and turn me loose. And I'm kind of struggling with that a little bit this evening. So I feel tonight pressured by time. So you pray for me, if you would please. And then I'll try to preach fast. I heard Brother Koenig say a few times when I was there in Worcester, he said, I've got a full bale of hay, and I've got a truckload tonight, so I want to try and not keep you too long. But there's a lot of information that we need to understand about the Holy Spirit if we're going to know what God is like. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He is the Spirit of creation. We read in Job 26 and verse number 23. Look there, please. Job 26. Job 26 and verse number 13. Job chapter 26 and verse number 13. By his Spirit he hath garnished the heavens, and his hand hath formed the crooked serpent. And you can read in the book of Genesis, and the Spirit moved upon the waters. And you can read in Psalm 104, verse number 30, that it's the Spirit of God that moved in creation. He is the Creator God. He is the spiritual manifestation of God. We shared with you last night that verse from 1 Timothy chapter 3. Now, folks, this is a mystery, this Trinitarian belief that we have. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He's God the Father. He's God the Son. He's God the Holy Spirit. There in John 14, verse number 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. We'll read of that in John chapter 15 and verse number 26. And when the Comforter come, who I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. God, Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, is called the God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of the Son. He's the Spirit of truth. He is the teacher of truth. John 16 verse 13. He will teach us all truth. He will guide us to all truth. Be turning with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9. I heard and I wrote this down and I've kept it and used it many, many, many times. But I heard Dr. Roselia say one time, God has taken the greatest theologian in the world and put him right in our hearts. That's the Holy Spirit. I've heard people say to me along the way, well, I just can't understand the Bible. That's evidence of a problem. Because it's a clear word. And the Spirit of God guides us and teaches us. Sure, there are troublesome waters in the Scriptures. There are deep things that are hard to be understood. But the Spirit of God will reveal them to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but as is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Look at verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Isn't it a wonderful blessing that God has given us this word? Then He has given us in our hearts the Holy Ghost to teach us the things of this book. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Someone says to me, well, I just can't understand the Bible. There's one of two problems. You're not reading it and praying over it, or you're unconverted. Pretty much the way it is. Let's keep reading a little bit. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are because they are spiritually discerned. We get into sometimes, with the theological position that we hold, every now and then we're going to get questioned about the free will of man. And the whole issue is that man can't. I don't care how free or unfree he is. It says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. You understand, I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was going to church every time the door was open. I was helping in Sunday school classes, working on bus routes, working on buses, singing in the choir, singing in quartets. The church I was a member of, Brother Duckett, had a tendency to just impromptu call for a quartet. He'd say, Brother Chuck, get me a quartet. I sang bass. I'd pick up one of the fellows that sang tenor, an alto and a soprano, and just there we went. Cold turkey, unrehearsed, a quartet. Well, I could sing the bass. I don't understand timid. Or bashful. If any of you folks, if you suffer from perhaps being timid or bashful, I don't know what it is. I'm not bragging. I'm just confessing to you. I've never had that problem. And I just don't know what it is. I just don't know how to relate to it. Most people have sense enough to be afraid to get in front of folks. I've never had that. And so I could put on a pretty good show of religion. Everybody thought I was a good fella. But I was unconverted. And God broke in on me by the Spirit of God. And then the Spirit of God began to reveal things to me. And they came alive. He is the Spirit of truth. Now for man to be spiritually discerned, that's without the ability to make spiritual judgments. We might receive, we might hear, we might read spiritual things, but we can't judge them to be of God. We can't comprehend the holiness, the godliness, the spirituality of them. You see, I suppose I needed some kind of a miraculous spirit. I'm trying to illustrate this again, probably should go on and not even worry about it. But they could just never, ever make me see the benefit or a positive use of algebra. When I was, I would sit there in class and I would think, what am I going to do with this? And the teacher could never make me, I could never see any use of that. I kept thinking, this is the most idiotic, craziest bunch of chaos that I've ever seen. I could not judge that stuff beneficial. In regard to algebra, I was spiritually discerned. Am I making any sense? Please help me tonight or no. Because, folks, the unconverted man is spiritually discerned. He cannot judge the things of God to be beneficial and positive and of any use or benefit to him. Okay, Brother Chuck, I understand, or I'm really sleepy, or something. We are getting into the end of the week, and we're going to begin to be getting tired. But the Spirit of God enables us to understand. In the Gospel of Luke, the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of incarnation. You see, that thing which is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. Probably, in my thinking, and my thinking is the thinking that I agree with the most, but in my thinking, the prayer of the Virgin Mary is the sweetest, most spiritual prayer of worship I've read in the Bible. I'm convinced. People say, well, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, what happened? What occurred? What took place? I suppose if anybody has ever been filled with the Holy Ghost, it was the Virgin Mary. And read of her worship. She didn't go berserk and start running around a building or throwing up a tent meeting and a healing meeting and all of these kinds of crazy things. My dad had had a number of strokes and was an invalid. And there was a nurse living at my sister's house, stayed there and took care of him. And I drove up there to see him. And she comes up, I was at the breakfast table, and this is one of those ladies that smiled real big. And I don't mean this in an insulting way, but it looked like she had too many teeth. You know, she just smiled like a crocodile. And she came and sat down at the table and looked at me and smiled real big. She said, "I just love Benny Hinn. Y'all have him on TV up here? He's one of these healers." And she broke my heart, and she made me so mad I couldn't hardly breathe. Because I said, all right, here's my dad dying. You're a nurse getting paid to take care of him, and you believe in some kook supposed to be a healer. Get in there and take care of my dad then. I've always wondered why these faith healers don't shut down the hospitals. You never see some guy that come from Iraq and got blowed to smithereens and just didn't die taken care of on one of these healer programs. It's a crazy, they're a bunch of shysters and lying crooks. All right. Maybe some of y'all don't agree with me quite so well, but that's all right. I'm leaving Saturday. All right. The Holy Ghost teaches us to worship God. He's the Spirit of incarnation. He brought the Son of God into the world. He's the Holy Ghost of the Holy God. He's the Spirit of incarnation. Look with me in Hebrews 9, please, and verse number 14 in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Spirit of sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 14. Verse 10, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" I'm trying to not so much tell you what the Holy Spirit does as to identify him for you as to who he is. He is the Spirit of sacrifice. He's the Spirit of salvation. Hebrews 10:29 tells us, "How much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Amen. Now, done despite to the Spirit of grace, that means to insult him. insult the Spirit of grace. I won't even attempt to illustrate. I'm going to get to the treatment of the Holy Spirit in just a minute. But the idea I want us to see here, He's the Spirit of grace. How does the grace of God get to our hearts? You see. It's the Holy Ghost of God brings the grace of God to. We can read about it in the Scriptures and we can preach about it here. And what are we hoping that takes place? We pray here of a morning or of an evening and the young people are praying. What are we praying? We're praying that the Holy Ghost of grace would work in people's hearts and that God would do in the hearts of you young people and in the hearts of all of us what He's done for us. You see. So, we praise God, God the Holy Ghost. Look with me in the book of Romans, chapter number 5. In the book of Romans, chapter number 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. He is the Spirit of God's love. Now, I've heard a number of times, and I suppose in a sense, I believe this, we're not saved by feelings. But you understand me tonight. We're not saved without feelings either. How do you know God loves you? Because the Spirit of God makes you know it. This phrase, shed abroad. If I was preaching at South Center, they'd understand what I'm doing. Poured out. Big vessel of God's love, and it's been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Ghost. This is a spiritual thing. We're born of the Spirit. You see. He's God, the Holy Spirit. And He fills our hearts with His love. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. How? He died on the cross and ascended up to heaven. Who's making that melody in my heart? It's the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God's love. Now, I'll tell you what. I got a grandson named Wyatt. He's 10. And I had him for a couple of days. My son is having to work so many hours. And they just said it. He says, if you got sons, you know what I'm talking about, especially when they get grown and you don't get to see them enough. When my sons call me, I go running. I don't know. It's just when they need me, I'm trying to show up. And Krista said, I'm just haven't had any time to spend with Wyatt. If you could just get him and come entertain him for a couple of days. I said, you betcha. And I got the buoy in a hurry. And I got that boy, and away we went. And I entertained him for a couple of days. And we went, and I took him fishing, and he caught a big old bass and all of this. We had a big time. And he got home, and he said, Aaron called me and told me, you know, she said, man, old Wyatt says to his mommy, he says, Poppy's the greatest poppy in the world. Man, my heart could pump. Dry concrete. I was so excited about that, you know. I'm glad that boy loves me. You know, I am so glad that boy loves me. When I was in the hospital, end of March, I had both knees replaced. And nothing happened. And, you know, catastrophes at the house never happen at a good time. I'm up in the hospital, and my poor wife calls me. She said, the house is flooded. So what? I can't roll in there and try to take care of this, you know. But, of course, when they put me in a wheelchair, I didn't know how to do it. I'd run around circles. You know, she said, you got to hold one wheel and do the other one. I said, oh, that's like driving a bulldozer. And then I was okay. I could do it. But anyway, my poor wife came into the hospital to see me. She's just crying. And she says, you can't die before I do. I knew how much that girl loved me, and it felt so good. But let me tell you something. When I can read the Scriptures and see that a high and holy God loves me, and He makes it real in my heart by the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of His love, there ain't nothing like it. There ain't nothing like it when this Holy Ghost gets in there and makes you know that God loves you. Oh, now let me tell you something now. My poor wife, there's a whole lot about me she don't know, and I hope she don't find out. God knows all of it, and He still loves me. He knew it before the foundation of the world, and He started loving me before the foundation of the world. You understand? He knows all that's going on tomorrow. Did any of y'all ever get frustrated in the driving, when you're driving? All right. Now, understand, any Baptist preacher can add lying to his preaching. All right? I have a real problem. I'm a good driver and everybody else is an idiot. I just have real problems. And so I have a tendency to get a little aggressive. One time my son Joel says to me, "Hey, Dad, you're in the church van." Right under the fifth rib. You know, God knows all about that, and still He loves me. Still He loves me. It's amazing. And He loves me, and He's the Spirit of love. I need to hurry on because there's still plenty here. Oh, He's the Spirit of regeneration. I was dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. What that word means is dead. I've studied that up and down, left and right. And I'm telling you, what it means is dead. It doesn't mean real bad sick, crippled up real bad. What it means is dead. I had students in a theology class argue with me about that. And I said, "Well, boys, what that means is dead. Hammer, handle, dead. You understand that, do you? Hammer, dead, laying dead. Not until you're picked up and brought to use." Finally, some of them begin to understand. The rest of them are just kind of going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And you're just hoping eventually the Holy Ghost will help them to see it. But I was dead in trespasses and sin. And God gave me the Spirit of life. The Spirit of life. He's the Spirit of regeneration. He's the Spirit of adoption. God put the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." I could tell you all kinds of stories about R.N. Osborne. That was my dad. All right? I can just tell you all his work ethic, his strength, all of this. I can tell you all kinds of stories about my dad, but I can't make you his son. I don't care what I do. I can't make you his son. I was a child of wrath. I was a child of disobedience. I was a child of the devil, John 8:44. And God made me his son. You know how he did that? He took the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of adoption, and he put him into my heart. Amen. That's good stuff. It's wonderful that God put the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." Where have you heard that "Abba, Father" before? When Jesus is praying in the garden, and the crucifixion is coming, and the intensity of that prayer is unimaginable and unbelievable, and Jesus cries, "Abba, Father." Can you understand that? He put the Spirit of His Son into my heart. And now I can cry, "Abba, Father." I don't know what's going on. I'm laughing, crying at the same time. I want you to understand, it's a glorious thing when you can cry out to the Holy God of all creation and say, "Father, Father," just like the Lord Jesus Christ did. That's because the Holy Ghost of God is put into our hearts. He's the Spirit of adoption. We read there in 1 Corinthians 2, He's the Spirit of revelation. God has revealed these things to us, and we can know them. Look with me in the book of Romans chapter 8, please. I'm hurrying. Romans chapter number 8.
And let's look at verse number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He's the Spirit of assurance. You know how I know I'm son of God? He told me so. Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful that you got God Himself telling you, you're my son. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Not only did He call me His son, He put the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, enabling us and causing us to cry, Abba, Father. We have the same position with the Father as His Son. It's a miracle. It's a mystery. We can't just put this and just make it absolutely. It's a miracle. All of this is a miracle. Great is the mystery of godliness. God, can you see? Can you understand tonight, young man, why I tell you the gospel ministry is the greatest work in the world? Man, you get to tell people about this stuff. Isn't that good? Oh, it's great. He's the Spirit of assurance. The Bible tells us that we might be strengthened in the inner man by His Spirit. He's the Spirit of strength. Look with me in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. He's the Spirit of hope. Amen. We're living a day and a lot of people don't have any hope. But there's a Spirit that keeps us going. Let me tell you about a man who didn't have any hope in the Old Testament. Job. God initiates all this with Satan. Hast thou considered my servant Job? And God turns the devil loose on him. Takes his 10 children, all of his wealth and all of that. But there's a spirit there that Satan cannot do battle with. And Job says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You see, the Holy Ghost is the spirit of hope. There's hope for salvation from sin. There's hope from addiction. There's hope from whatever ails you in God. He's the Spirit of hope. Look with me in Romans chapter 8, please. Still there in verse 16. Let's read verse 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the spirit of the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we shall also be glorified together. You see, He's the Spirit of glorification. How's that going to take place? We're going to be taken to heaven. I heard Brother Tommy McElroy preaching one time about God sending people to hell. And I've heard Baptist preachers say, well, a loving God never send anybody to hell. Well, I heard Brother Tommy McElroy say, well, if He doesn't, who provides the transportation? And I want you to understand something. How are we going to get from dead in the flesh to alive in Christ in glory? The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of glorification. He's going to quicken us in salvation. He quickens us and raises us in glorification. We'll be glorified together in Him. Look with me in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He's the Spirit of intercession. By that I mean He's the Spirit of help when it comes to prayer. How would you possibly know what to say to God? How could you and I possibly put things in the right words, the right terminology, the right phrases to a high and holy God? Well, the Spirit helps our infirmities. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He searcheth the hearts. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You see, folks,
He helps us in this business of prayer. Now, if you're a child of God, let me tell you something about prayer. I was talking about this the other night in the cafeteria. We're living in a world of lost people that expect us to be able to communicate with God. Do you understand that? I was working for the Austin Bridge Construction Company there in Dallas, pastoring a church, and I ran a boom truck, kind of a small crane. And one day, one of the mechanics jumped up on the step of that truck and says, "Preacher, I need to pray for my father-in-law. He's had a heart attack." And it hit me like a ton of bricks right in my lap. That guy's lost, lost, lost. I'd try to witness to him, and he'd just laugh and carry on. But it came time for that man needed prayer. He expected me to be able to communicate with God. Oh, that was a sobering thought to me. Well, I've got the Holy Ghost to help me. He helps our infirmities with groanings that cannot be uttered. Dear old brother Gene Parker, a charter member of the Rolling Hills Baptist Church for 50 years, a faithful man in that church, dying of cancer. And I went into the hospital room to see him just before he died. And he looked up at me and he said, "Help me, boy, I'm dying." And that man expected me to be able to talk to God. How can I talk to God, sinful and helpless wretch that we are? Well, He's given us the Spirit of adoption, made us His sons. We're welcome just like His Son is. He's given us the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, to help us pray. He's the Spirit of intercession. Now, quickly, all of this, folks, God demands reverential and sensitive treatment to the Holy Spirit. He demands it. Do you understand the Bible doesn't say grieve not the Father? It doesn't say grieve not the Son. God said grieve not the Spirit, Ephesians 4, verse 30. You ever had some... I don't want to overhumanize this. Have you ever had someone hurt your feelings? Grieve not the Spirit. Isaiah 9 and 10 of Isaiah 63. In His love and in His mercy He redeemed them, but they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. It's the same idea in the Old Testament. The idea of grieving the Spirit of God. Grieving Him. Quench not the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Don't stifle out the fire. I worked out at the DFW airport. It's so hot down there, we had to pour concrete at night. We were pouring runways and taxiways. And all of a sudden, across the way, we see this... we're working through the night. And we see this gigantic fire, and we thought one of the big jets had crashed. Well, what it was a practice fire. But it's huge. And it's hundreds of feet up in there, it looks like. And the time we all got over into that area, the fire was out. But there was a big, thick foam about that thick on the ground. They sprayed that foam out there and put that fire out. They quenched it. Quench not the Spirit. How about our apathy? How about our complacency? So what? Somebody else will do it. Somebody will kick in and take care of the financial needs of the camp. Get kind of close to you tonight. You know, in churches in this country, it is single-digit percentage of the attending people that are faithful and honest in their giving. Single digit. Somebody else will take care of it. Apathy, complacency. We just get... It's no big deal. It's a big deal. He's God. He's the high and holy God. He's the Spirit of the Father. He's the Spirit of the Son. Don't vex Him by your laziness. Don't vex Him by your apathy. How much time do you spend reading the Word of God? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, yeah? When's the last time you spent a little bit of time reading the Bible? My mother used to press flowers in the Bible. I never understood what was that for. Don't press flowers in your Bible. Read your Bible. If you want to press flowers, lay them in the driveway and run over them. Read your Bible. Study it. The amount of time I spend reading God's Word gives God my estimate of His Word. I don't read about the ballet. I've got no interest in it. I can barely walk flat-footed, much less on my toes. So I don't read about the ballet. I don't care anything about it. I don't read about soccer. I don't know anything about it. I read God's Word. I tell Him I love Him. Maybe I ought to listen to Him. Amen. Don't vex the Spirit. The question is asked in Micah chapter 2, verse 7. Is the Spirit of the Lord straightened? Constricted like you folded over? Any of you ever folded over a garden hose, water hose, because you didn't want to run over and turn the valve over? You just kinked it over and held it? Are we quenching? Are we constricting the Spirit of God by our apathy, by our disobedience? Oh, read the book of Ezekiel and the book of Hosea. And I'm telling you, God likens our apathy and our half-hearted obedience to the grossest perversion you can imagine. The Spirit of the living God. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me. Mold me. Fill me. Use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. What is God like? He's God the Holy Spirit. He's in our hearts. He's in our hearts. Let's not vex Him. Let's not grieve Him. My father-in-law's with the Lord now, but he was one of the most sanctified people I've ever known. Another preacher said about my father-in-law, said he's so upright, he leans backwards. But he was just that way. He was saintly all the time. And I rode around in a car of his. He was trying to help me find a job when I was up there in Lubbock. And every time you shut his car off, and it was in the heat of summertime, every time you'd shut his car off, the stinking thing wouldn't start. So we'd get in the car, and he'd try to start it, and it wouldn't start. I called him Brother Arp. He'd pull his handkerchief out of his, and I don't care where you were going, black pants and white shirt and tie, always in that heat. And he'd pull his handkerchief out of his head, out of his pocket, and he'd say, "Oh, Chuck, this vexes my spirit." I'm saying to myself, if you go in there and get a drink of water, your car will catch fire and I'll burn this wreck to the ground. All he'd say is, "This vexes my spirit." And I've since learned in a little research, I wonder how many times God is saying, "Chuck, you're vexing my spirit." I don't want to vex God's spirit. I want Him to flow in me, because I know if He flows in me, He's going to come out. You see, He's also the Spirit of power, and you know all of that. You've heard it. Enabling us to witness. Let's stand together. Brother Bill, come please. Lead us in a song. You always know what to do there, preacher, so I don't know what to sing. I preach in every Sunday, and I never know how to shut things down. That's as you can tell. I get started, and I don't ever know how to quit. But folks, we're wondering what God is like, and He's God the Holy Ghost, and it says He abides with us forever. He's with me everywhere I go. God help us to make sure we don't vex Him and grieve Him and quench Him. May we have hope and be filled with joy, Romans says, in the power of the Holy Ghost. Our Father, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You that You're so long-suffering with us, especially when we do grieve and vex Your Holy Spirit. Please forgive our sin. Please bless Brother Bill now as he leads us
I pray in Christ's name. Amen.